Coming up on the Real Recap Podcast, the inaugural episode, we decided to go over The Godfather Part 1 and Part 2. You're going to get two movies for the price of one on this episode. As I mentioned, this is our inaugural show. This is the very first episode we've done of this show. We're hoping to give you guys a real glimpse into some movies that we love. Hopefully you guys will enjoy it. For The Godfather Part 1 and Part 2, we decided to go with these movies for a couple reasons. Obviously, two of the greatest movies of all time. The 52-year anniversary of The Godfather Part 1 was just a few weeks ago. So we decided it was perfect timing. Might as well start off with one of the best of all time. Why not? Our good buddy Wendell Reese, he had never seen The Godfather Part 1 or Part 2. And so we figured, shoot, let Wendell watch, get his thoughts afterwards, talk about it, discuss, have a good time. Michael Van Landingham was gracious enough to let us come over to his house and enjoy a full-fledged Italian dinner while watching The Godfather Part 2. Then we got to sit around, we got to discuss it. So on this episode, you're going to hear us talking about these movies, of course. Keep in mind, this was our first episode. Not everything was perfect. Had a few technical difficulties, but we went with it. It's okay. Also, you're going to hear a little bit of yawning, a little bit of tiredness. We were up pretty late watching these movies. I mean, I'm talking like it was 1 o'clock in the morning when we got done. But it was a really fun time. We had a really great time doing it. We really hope to give you guys some more episodes with some more great classic movies that we love. Maybe a few movies that are absolutely horrible. Those are always kind of fun to talk about too. So we'll just see as we get farther along into this thing. Before we get started, I'm going to go ahead and lay this out there right now. This episode is going to contain heavy, heavy spoilers for The Godfather Part 1 and 2. If something has happened and you've been living under a rock for the last 50 years and have not gotten a chance to see The Godfather Part 1 and 2, please do not listen to this episode right now. I want you to go home, find it somewhere, streaming, video store, if you can find one that's still in existence. Find The Godfather Part 1 and 2 and watch them as soon as possible, and then come back. Maybe give this episode a listen. See what you think. I think you really appreciate it. So, with that being said, here is the real recap. Episode 1, The Godfather, Part 1 and Part 2.
So, I hadn't watched Godfather 1, like, obviously, one of the most talked about movies in history, mm-hmm. you know, and film history, but, like, I just never sat down and watched it, because, one, it's long, but, like, I sat down and watched it a little bit ago, and I texted you guys about it, and, like, it was a little slow, just the setup of it. I mean, they start in the wedding, mm-hmm. and then it's them walking in and asking the Don for favors, and then, you know, they kind of spread out. And then, what's the next scene? It goes to, it's before the Don is shot, but they go to
You have the whole thing with the Johnny Fontaine character.
Yep.
Saying that he needs help because he was wanting to be in this movie role, and right. the studio's not going to give it to him. Which, I had always heard that that character was based off of Frank Sinatra.
I can see that.
Like, that really kind of like really happened. Like, Frank Sinatra wasn't, I guess he really was, because in the first Godfather, like, the studio exec was like, I'm not hiring this guy because he fooled around with my girlfriend and they got off together.
And he had the horse head in his head.
That's what really happened with Sinatra was he was not getting roles because he was fooling around with the women. And the executives didn't want to hire him, and so he had to go to his mob buddies, which mm-hmm. I think he really was like kind of tied with the mob, and he got some help. So yeah.
Well, I mean, that's my assumption too. Like, everybody in the Rat Pack was mm-hmm. associated with the mob. Everybody that was singing it or doing swing music or crooning had some association with the mob. I don't know why, but I mean, art imitates life consistently, doesn't it? So.
It does, yeah.
So, I mean, you go Johnny Fontaine, then Buddy Leesley, they go to that dinner, Tim and Tom Hagen, and they mm-hmm. have dinner, and then, you know, he denies him, say he'll never do it, because he messed up one of his favorite actresses, mm-hmm. or best actresses, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. his, he ends up with a horse head in his bed, Which that I don't know. I get it. It's the '70s and movies. Like, how the hell does that dude not like feel the horse head in his bed?
Well,
I don't know, he probably took some Quaaludes or something.
If he was like either something like that, or if he was like a heavy sleeper. I don't know. I'm a pretty light sleeper, so like that would never happen to me.
Hollywood. He was definitely taking ludes. Like, absolutely he was. Absolutely. So, I mean, and then it goes to when the dude tries to get Don Vito with the drugs.
Salazzo's coming to them saying, hey, we can make a lot of money.
So then that's when the movie started to change. Mm-hmm, that's right. Like, that's when the movie started to really pick up pace, because I'm sure, I mean, it showed like in, I mean, I guess we'll get to Godfather 2, but it showed in Godfather 2, Don Vito walking the streets a lot. Mm-hmm. So I know he's probably done that for 20, 30 years, as long as he's been the Don.
Yeah.
So for him to be out in the open in the first one, like, it just kind of makes sense, and everybody knew that. And who wasn't there? Who was the dude that wasn't there?
Pauly.
So yeah. Pauly wasn't there. So yes. Everybody was wondering what Pauly was.
Sick.
Yeah. Yeah, sick. Yeah. All right. I don't know. I know you guys can't see me, but I just did air quotes.
Yeah.
So he's sick, and then all of a sudden, Don Vito's out getting, I don't know, oranges or something. I'm sure he likes pears. Yeah. Like, it looked like. So he's out there getting fruit.
He wanted a whole thing of fruit.
Yeah. So then he gets pop, 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 pop.
Yep.
Like, and who's in the car? Who was in the car?
It was Fredo.
Fredo was in the car? He, like, yeah.
Fumbled the gun. He had no chance
to loser.
Help his dad at all.
R.I.P. Fredo. Yeah. In real life and in the movie. So, yeah, he did die in real life. I was looking at IMDb.
That actor. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I looked at IMDb about all these guys, and there aren't very many of them alive, obviously. Mm-hmm. Bob Duvall.
Well, I mean, the movie's 50 years old. Yeah. I mean, they were all like in their 30s at the time. So, I mean, they're getting up there.
Right.
Sadly.
Fredo's dumb from the beginning. He said, I have to go get the car, Pa. And he's like, Pauly calling sick. And he's like, Pauly's a good kid, you know?
Yeah.
God, Don Vito. Yeah. Freaking trust him from the beginning. What a freaking. Dude, you've been the Don for all these years. You don't think.
Fredo was like, Pauly's a good kid.
Oh.
Yeah, he's like, Pauly's a good kid.
Okay. What are you gonna do? Mm-hmm. No, Pauly's an idiot. That's why he got freaking.
He got whacked.
Yeah, he got whacked in that boat. Dude, everybody was getting whacked left and right. So, then after that, like, I guess. I don't know. I didn't really see, like, Michael Corleone coming on how he did. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he was, and I mean, I know we discussed this, like, you know, off camera, but like, Sonny was a real hothead and didn't really have control, like, wanted to hit back, like, the moment everything happened. And then Pauly was.
Fredo.
Fredo was just a freaking idiot. Like, from the very beginning. Like, he's an idiot, so he didn't know what the heck was going on half the time.
Kind of a doofus, yeah.
But Michael coming on is just like, he was soft-spoken. He always seemed like he was in control of every situation that he was ever a part of. So, I mean, I guess it makes sense, but I just didn't think it would. He'd end up being that ruthless, that, you know, as you start to stretch to the movie. So, I don't know, man. It was a phenomenal movie. Where'd they go from there?
How'd you like the transition shot after he gets his knocked out by the cop, and then they're in the office and the camera just kind of
pans downwards,
sinks down a little, and then just moves closer. Is that to him as he's talking about what he's gonna do?
Is that after he comes downstairs from his dad, like moving him to the other room? Like, after he had to move his dad he had to move Don Vito to the other room because people were coming to kill him and the nurse.
Yeah, yeah.
So he after
moved him to the other room.
Yeah.
Those cops show up, and the McCluskey who's in with Salazzo to kill Vito, comes and's like, why did you pull those guys off or whatever? And Mike kind of smarts off to him.
I'll do whatever I want.
Breaks his face.
Yeah. You know,
the part I'm talking about is after he punches him out, and then he comes back to the office with Sonny and Tom and Clemenza.
Oh, I got you.
They all start laughing at it. The camera starts moving in on him when he's talking about it's going to be me, McCluskey, Salazzo.
And you can't
find a way to have a weapon planted there for me, then I'll kill them both. And they all start laughing at him.
And you start to see that switch because that's not the Michael that they knew.
Yeah, and that's why
Michael's not a part of the family. Michael doesn't want to do any of this.
He
was a college boy.
What he wanted to go to college and be in the military and do. Yeah, he was not. Yeah.
So I mean, that whole thing, and I was like, I didn't know where it was going to go from there. Like, obviously, he was serious about it. So, and then the whole dinner scene with him and McCluskey and Sulazzo. And then how they planned it out that there was, hey, Sulazzo's going to be here. There's nobody that's really going to be there. And then what'd he say? He just walk out. Like, just shoot him and then walk out. Yep. What, they put tape over the gun? Yep. What'd they do?
Yeah, put the tape around the trigger and the handles.
So, okay. Yeah. Yep. So, yeah. I mean, and that was a really good scene, too. Just, you could see the nervousness on his face. I didn't know if he was going to fumble in the conversation.
Right.
As he was having with them, knowing that he's about to have to kill these two dudes, and doesn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was wondering, like, since this is the first time he's gonna do this, like, is he gonna fumble the conversation? Is he gonna lead on to that? You know, he's gonna kill those dudes, or is it just, you know, how's this conversation gonna go? And then, well, he went to the bathroom, gun slid down, and then freaking came out.
He pretty much just says, I want you to leave my dad alone. And then he asks, can I go to the bathroom? That's like, oh.
Alone.
Yep.
If you notice, that's the one thing that they don't put subtitles when he's talking to Sulazzo and Italian. They don't put the subtitles.
It's all Italian and there's no subs. So you have no idea. I did get it on Google. Mm-hmm. And what are they talking about? And like Michael said, it's basically them, you know, he's just saying, leave my dad alone, please. And Sulazzo is saying, like, hey, we can make a lot of money here. Like, you know, it'd be good business, yada, yada, yada. And so, yeah.
And then, after that, where does it go from there?
He goes to Italy. He's in Italy. He's got
to
go.
Oh, he has to go to Italy and then
he's got to hide out.
Dude, that was like the weirdest time because, like, he has to go to Italy. He has to hide out because everything's hot in New York.
Yeah.
And, walking around town, and then what happens? He meets a girl. Now, does he meet the girl first?
He sees Apollonia walking around, were they at a party?
Mm-hmm. No.
Or at like a little town something, where she just...
They were just walking. They were just on a walk, and it's two guards.
He and his buddies,
She comes walking through with all those kids and stuff. That was it. Her family members and... whole lightning bolt scene. You just got hit by a lightning bolt.
And then he goes, goes to meet the dad.
They go to the bar.
Okay.
They go to the bar, and that's owned by the dad. And they're like, hey, our buddy here just got knocked out by a bolt of lightning. And they're like, oh, he's like playing along at first. And he's like, what does she look like? And they describe her, and he's like, no, there's no women like that around here.
The Jack Black from Saving Silver. No. Yeah. Never heard of such a person. Yeah,
never heard of that person ever. that's great.
So then he goes in and comes back out and at least talks about wanting to marry her or something like that.
He pretty much says, if she's looking for a husband.
All this time, Kay is like back in America waiting on him.
Wanting to write letters to him and she goes to Tom or goes to Vito's house and Tom Hagen say, okay, you know, we can't talk to Michael because the courts can prove that we know where he's at. So, you know, we have no contact with the guy. And she's like, well, let me just give you this letter. And he's like, no, we can't. It's like, she won't take a hint.
No, I don't
like,
hear what I just said.
Yeah. Like, he's away. Like, sorry, Kay. I know you like the guy, but.
Kay's a rough character.
Yeah,
dude, she sucks.
It's, you know.
She's like Skyler from Breaking Bad. I mean, not as bad, but like. She's up there. As far as hatred of characters go for me, like, Skyler from Breaking Bad.
I mean, the thing with me is, like, she knows what this, like, what the dude's family is all.
Yeah, like, she knows. Like she doesn't act like she's an idiot.
He told her, the first scene in the movie, when they're at that wedding, she's like, oh, that dude's scary. Luca Brasi. And she's like, who's that? And then he's like, that's Luca Brasi. He's a very scary man. And she was talking about, Michael, what happened? She was asking about him.
He was over there repeating himself because he was about to go talk to the Don.
Yeah, but now, was there somebody at the wedding? And she was like, what's going to happen? And Michael was basically like, Luca Brasi is going to go kill him. Am I remembering that wrong?
They're talking about Johnny. They're talking about Johnny, and they said my father.
That's
played,
it.
My father played a big
part. That's it. That's it. That's it.
Getting big in his career.
That's it.
They said, "Well, how'd he do that? She just keeps prying and prying. He's not like, you know, not wanting to really tell her, and she just keeps asking. So he just says."
Trying to eat his food.
He just says he went to the band leader a second time.
That's only what it was.
This time he took Luca with him, and Luca held a gun to his head.
That's what it was.
He was going to give him $5,000 first or something like
that. $10,000 originally.
And then it went down to
$1,000.
And she made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
She's like, how'd that happen?
How'd he do that?
Yeah.
Made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
What was that? Yeah. But, you know, he's straightforward with her from the beginning, yeah. But he does also say, that's my family, Kay, that's not me.
Yeah, you know,
but
that is true.
It wasn't him until he had to be.
Basically.
To be able to keep the family together.
Didn't want it to be him, but he was just, he's best suited for it.
Yeah, had to, because the two other brothers couldn't do it. So
freaking a hot head and a weenie.
Had to be,
so
yeah.
They're both dumb, let's be real. Yeah. Sonny's
he was dumb too.
God dang, dog. I didn't.
I love the part when Michael gets back and they start making the transition to Michael. Vito's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I love the part where he's like, when Michael's, you know, Michael's like, we're going to make some changes. And he's like, Tom, you're out. You're not consigliere. You're not, mm-hmm. You're just going to be our lawyer. That's it. You're not going to be consigliere. And, he says that's not a reflection on Tom, and Vito's like, Tom, I advise Michael. Basically, he's like, I think it was the best thing. Not that I never thought you were a bad conciliator. I thought Santino was a bad Don. Rest in peace.
He does say that. Yeah, he does say that. Thought he was a bad Don. Rest in peace. Yeah.
Oh man, but. Oh, the sunny scene, the funeral parlor scene, man, that's tough.
Oh,
that's,
man.
That's one of the, that's well, one of the most excruciating lines right
let's
there.
Let's go like right before, let's go right before that. So, what, Sonny got a tip or something like that?
No, Carlo
set him up.
Carlo was beating up Connie,
yeah,
their sister, and it happened previously, and Sonny went and beat the crap out of him in the streets and said, uh-huh. You ever do this again, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
And so he did it again. Baby. And she basically knowing, like, hey, this is how I'm going to get this guy. And so she called Sonny and said, hey, I got roughed up again. And he's like, stay right there. On the way, at the toll booth, leaving, you know, whatever borough they're in, Brooklyn, going to Bronx, whatever, I don't know. But then the toll booth dude, he drops his little quarter and he bends down, and that's when you're like, what? This is kind of strange. The first time I saw it as a kid, I was like, what? And then the car in front would not move, and the car behind him would not move. And
then
the goons all get out, and the goons stand up from the other toll booth, and it's like, oh my god, like, they got him.
God, he got freaking lit up.
He got smoked. Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, it was like an over, like, they overdid it.
Oh, he got shot. Yeah. I mean, dozens of times. I mean,
so, and then, like you said, they get to that scene, and you know,
Barzini approached Carlo. That's
yeah.
That's those were Barzini's people.
Yep.
Shot him up.
So after he gets to that funeral parlor, the dude who asked him for a favor in the first scene.
Yes.
I didn't think that was gonna be the favor.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I don't know if the Don did think that was going to be the favor. Hey, make him recognizable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so his mother doesn't have to see this. And look at how they massacred my boy.
Sad.
Dude, that is...
The sad line.
And then the restraint that he had to have to end the feud after they just killed his son.
Oh, yeah.
Which is absolutely, you know, unfathomable. Mm-hmm. Like, it was business. He was business. That was all business, and he's gonna let it ride, basically.
Yep.
But freaking, I know Michael in the back of his mind knew he wasn't gonna let none of that ride.
Yep.
So then he goes to the sit down and basically, like, what happened at the sit down? I don't remember everything.
With Vito?
With Vito, we meet with all the five families.
Well, I think he was kind of, that was kind of like a filling out type of deal too. And I mean,
because the dude, that one dude was asking for protection.
Well, he said, he says in the car, he says in the car after that meeting, he says,
he knew it was Barzini.
Tom says something about Tatalia, and Vito says Tatalia's a pimp.
Yeah.
He said he's a pimp. He said, but I didn't know to this very day that it was Barzini all along.
Yep.
So like he was kind of filling them out whenever he set that meeting up. I don't know what like tipped him off to that, but and I mean, you know, he says he wants like no acts of vengeance thing, but mm-hmm. I mean when they transition to Michael, like Vito's consulting him like all along, you know. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. It's just kind of felt like they were always gonna get revenge on those guys.
And then, then they had the, right after that scene, was that the Mo Green scene right after?
Yeah, then I think that's when they go out to Vegas. Yeah, go out to Vegas. And Fredo's out there, and then they're talking to Mo Green, and he's like, hey man, like, here's what we're going to do.
I'm going to buy you out. Yep. That's a great scene.
You're going to get some of the money back, and then...
I don't buy you out, you buy me out. Yeah, Mo Green. You don't buy me out, I buy you out.
Mo Green took great offense to that, and then stood up to the mob, and...
Slapping around my brother.
He had been slapping around Fredo. Before that too, and yeah, Michael cut wind, and so he already wasn't very happy with him.
Right. So then, what did he say? Like, what did Al Pacino say to Fredo as he was trying to stand up? After he was trying to stand up, like, hey, no, Moses, good guy.
It's like whatever. We were just goofing around or something like that. Like
he
it
was
weird.
Slapped in the street. Yeah. Hey man, we were just fun.
Yeah,
nothing by that.
Yeah, that
we were good friends.
That
right?
That was it. He's like patting him on the shoulder. We're good friends. Yeah.
I got a business to run.
Yeah.
I got to kick asses sometimes to make it run right.
Which, honestly, like, I mean, it did kind of make sense. I mean, if what Mo Green said was true, like, if Fredo really wasn't working and was sleeping with two girls at the same time, like, I'd be mad, too. Like, dude, go to work.
The table.
Yes, like, go to work, man. What are you doing? And they need to go to work, too. Yeah.
Michael, he's fighting a losing battle right there.
That's one of my other favorite lines in the movie was after that conversation with Mo Green. Like I can't remember the full line, but never go against me and the family again ever or something like that. I love you like my brother.
Yeah,
I love
don't.
You.
You're my brother and I love you, but don't ever take sides against the family again.
Yeah. So that's another like
that's a great line.
Great one-liner in that movie.
Yeah.
And then obviously like one of the greatest scenes in cinematic movie history happens when they go to Connie's kid's baptism. And freaking Clemenza's running up like 90 flights of stairs.
With that giant box. Do you think it's like a box of flowers or something? And he's then, climbing up that.
And then like obviously he's, I don't know why, like Clemenza's like super overweight, but he's not tired as he gets up the stairs.
Yeah, I know.
And then Mo Green's in there getting a massage.
Getting a rub down.
And then like you see all the way they tie it together was like my favorite part because everybody's having their own separate conversations.
Right.
But it's all
Tatalia's in bed with that hooker.
Mm-hmm.
So then, like, everybody's having their own separate lives and living their own separate conversations, not knowing that Michael had planned their freaking assassination.
Their
all
hits, yeah.
At one time.
So yep.
Who was that? Who was that? Went through like the rotating door. Who was that? That went through the rotating.
What, Dom was that?
Cuneo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cuneo. I don't know. They freaking lit that.
The one dude was getting a shave. And then he stopped in the lobby and he was smoking cigarettes trying to kill time. And then when he popped up and the dude was going through the little rotating revolving doors.
Thing,
the dude just reached up and just latched him and then.
That was Willie Cheech.
Yeah, that was Cheech, who's in Godfather Part 2. We'll talk about in a second. But okay. That scene is great. But what would be like your favorite scene from Godfather Part 1? If you had to pick one.
If I had to pick one?
Yeah. What would it be?
I mean, that one. That's my favorite scene. Like I can't because, I mean, I've only watched the movie once, but, like, as I look back through there, like, man, that's one of the greatest pieced together scenes that I've ever seen in a movie. You know?
Yeah.
And it just,
the baptism murders.
And yes, and then freaking Michael doesn't even, not even breaking a sweat. Like, mm-hmm. I know he planned all this and thought all this out, but then he's just like, yeah. Because they could, even if, you know, the police had even cared about those murders initially, they couldn't connect Michael to any of them.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, and then Mo Green getting shot through the eye. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, I don't know.
Right through the eyeball. Yeah, basically all of Michael's enemies up to that point, he's basically like, okay, yeah, this mm-hmm. is, we're not having this. Like, I'm in charge. Like, we take everybody out. So, the hits are, that's definitely a great scene for sure. I also, that probably would be my favorite. However, I do like the hospital scene a lot.
Yeah.
Where there's nobody left, you know, the guards are gone, and Michael goes up and he's like, where's everybody? My father's up here. And the nurse is like, oh, they're gone. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, we got to move him right now. And the nurse is like, what are you doing? He's like, do you know my father? There's men coming to kill him. And like, we got to get these tubes out. We got to move them. And they do. Like, the one guy comes up to help him. Mm-hmm. What was he, a florist or
Enzo.
Something?
Enzo.
Enzo, yeah.
The baker.
Yeah, the baker. That was it, yeah. He was like, you need help. I help.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was,
father.
Yeah.
Your father.
Yeah. That was great. And then I also like when he does go, when Michael goes to Louis' restaurant and he gets a gun and he knocks off McCluskey and Salazzo. That is mm-hmm. that's a cool scene.
But then even the final scenes where they kill Carlo and
that's good too. Yeah.
He sent him Vegas or Florida or wherever.
He was going to send him out to Vegas and you could tell him, like, don't come back. And, that was great. Carlos blubbering and crying, thinking he was about to get whacked because he'd been beating up his sister. And he was responsible for Sonny getting killed. And, yeah, he was. He knew that Michael was going to kill him. And Michael's like, no, I'm not going to. Why would I make my wife or my sister a widow? I'm not going to do that.
We're buds, man. We're pals. We're two peas in the pot here, friend. Compadre. Gets out to the car.
Clemens has got the piano wire, and that's
freaking,
it.
Tries to freaking kicks out the goddamn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he does! He does kick out the windshield.
The goddamn windshield.
Yeah, his foot goes right through it.
Clemens has his freaking.
Connie. She knows how Michael. She's annoying. She knows how Michael.
Michael, you killed him, Michael.
Why do you think he kept Carlo with him all this time? All this time, he knew he was going to kill him.
Connie, yeah, I mean.
You killed him, Michael, you did it.
You read the papers, not your husband.
bro, he was beating you. Not only that, but,
and of course, I don't remember if Connie was privy to this information, but that Carlo was responsible for Sonny, her brother, getting killed. Like, I actually don't know if she knew that, but still. Yeah, I hate to say it, man, but her and Kay were both annoying, and they're both like the only women in the movie, and it's like, oh my, yeah, I know, but
that's just how
they were written, I guess.
That's how they're written. It's freaking,
and it's like, oh my gosh,
it isn't our fault we hate him. It's Coppola's fault we hate him because he was the one who wrote the scenes. So
yeah, it was just
our fault.
It was just rough.
So, but that scene, and then Kay asking him about his business.
And he loses it with her the first time. It's brief, but he's, you know,
because
she keeps asking him about it. He's like, don't, he's like, enough. Yeah. And then he's like, you know what, I'll let you ask me one more question. And then he's like, no. He reassures her, no. And then she's like, oh, okay, great. And she feels better. She goes in the other room to get something.
Man, so you're not out here killing these people. And running prostitutes and drugs.
Oh, thank goodness. I can go to sleep tonight. And then 2 seconds later, she goes in the other room, turns around, and his hands are getting kissed by his butt, by, you know, Clemenza and all the other guys in the family. And that's when it's like, okay. They shut the door on her. They're looking right at her.
Hey, bye, Connie. Get out of here. Bye, Connie. Bye.
And that was it.
Bye, Kay. Please leave.
So,
maybe but transition to Godfather 2.
Well, overall, for the first watch of Godfather Part 1, like, you enjoyed it quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely, dude. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, that's coming off of me watching Goodfellas and.
Yeah, which we can also talk about another time, not tonight.
Another time.
Another show.
So, but yeah, that's coming off us watching.
Okay.
Goodfellas, and there was a lot. Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
Goodfellas. And then there was a lot of action in that. And,
yes.
So to go to that and. It being the scenes being so well set up and cinematography being really good, especially for the '70s, man. Like,
yeah,
like they're those scenes are so well put together. And I don't know anything about an Italian lifestyle, but I mean, I guess they captured it pretty well. So, but no, I mean, from first watch, no, it's worth the ranking that it is on IMDb. It's like the second or third best movie.
It's
like
pretty
that.
High as I far as ranking. Shawshank's number one, and I don't. Yeah, I mean, it's.
Yeah,
it's up there in the IMDb top 250 for sure.
I mean, both of them are Godfather 1 and 2, both like the top 5. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, they're both up there.
They're like 2 and 3 or 2 and 4 or something like that. They're both up there. So
then Godfather Part 2.
So, I mean, the opening scene, it tells about Vito's background.
Did you like the hopping back and forth? Did you like that?
I don't know.
Going like, between time?
I don't know. I guess I really had a lot of time to process it, I guess. But, I mean, it was fun. Like, I mean, I've always liked... I like TV shows and movies like that that kind of go back and forth. That kind of give a backstory to, you know, to what we were seeing in the first movie. But, I mean, what? You got to the first scene, and they're at a funeral. Vito's dad's funeral. And then... shots ring out, and then it's Vito's brother got killed, and then, you know, the mom's like, hey, Don Chicho, whatever his name is, she goes, and like, hey, this kid's dumb, like, he's not gonna do anything.
Yep, that's right.
Like, he's dumb-witted, I think that's what she called him.
She did call him, yeah.
I think she knows he's not that way, though.
Oh, yeah.
She was just trying to protect him.
Get that. Yeah. But no, she was trying to like downplay it. Yeah. Like, so like, yeah, so no, there was no SPED testing back then. Like, they didn't have SPED coordinators. So, I mean.
No, definitely not.
There was no way that Don Chicho could prove it. But he was like, nah. I mean, he's going to get older and he's going to, you know, be angry or whatever. So, no, I'm not going to let him go. So then she took the knife, and I don't know why she just didn't freaking. She knew he was telling the truth. She just killed your husband. Mm-hmm. She just killed your son. And. So you had the knife to his throat, and then you turn to look and say, run. Bro.
Yeah, she just, do it.
You know you're going to die anyway.
She stood there with, like, no any kind of defense. You know, there's, like, 8 guys standing around her, and she stops and looks to Vito and was like, run. And, like, she's still staring at him, and, like, the dudes, you know.
Just takes the knife.
They just
freaking blows at a kingdom come.
Grab the knife, and she gets blown away, like, 12 feet by the guns.
Right. So, like, it's weird just because, like, that whole transition of that scene, he was just standing there and watching it happen. Dude had so much traumatic stuff happen to him, and he was just like, okay, and then just takes off running, and then runs for his life, and then they're out in the streets. If you're hiding this child, then what do they say?
Yeah, whoever hides him.
Whoever
helps him is going to be sorry.
Yeah.
So the whole
town was like, oh my God, like, yeah.
So they put him in like a bunch of sticks and, you know, carry him out and then give him to America. And
all by himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just
9 years
old, all by himself.
9 years old, dude, just coming to America. And then what happened after that?
Then it goes to the present day, which the present day is like, you know, 1950s, and then it's talking about, you know, Lake Tahoe, you know, Michael and his family, they live out there, left New York.
Still coming in and asking Michael, they're coming in and asking Michael for favors.
Mm-hmm.
Frankie wants to talk, Frankie's drinking out of a water hose, like
yeah, did. That was funny.
then
Frank potentially. Reference the podcast. I mean, it's obviously both movies are similar opening settings.
Yeah,
they're similar. Like they're both parties, but
yeah,
they mentioned that podcast. Just they're similar settings, but how different they are. Like it's like, I mean, one's the wedding, and it's like, you know, just thick with Italian, culture, music, everything.
Yep.
And then the Tahoe scene is like so much more like forcibly Americanized, basically. Mm-hmm. They're playing the different music.
Pop goes weasel.
That is a good point.
Potentially tries to get them going, playing the Italian music and they can't do it. And they just start playing Pop Goes the Weasel, you know.
That is a good point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, and they talk a lot about that in that podcast that I listen to. They just have it's kind of a stripping them of their identity type of deal.
Can you go imagine going to like a wedding or a party or something, big celebration nowadays, and hearing the band play Pop Goes the Weasel?
Yeah. And freaking and Senator Geary's freaking sleazeball.
Oh, yeah.
He just like the way he's referring to him when he's up there with the microphone, he's like, Mike Kay, like, you know, like just so
Mike.
He said Pat, Mike, Pat, Kay.
Kay, I mean, sorry. Mike Corleone. This is the Corleones.
Calls him Mike like their best buds.
Yeah. And he's given an endowment or it's like a scholarship for Anthony, right? For the future, for going to college. And it's his middle name is Vito after his grandfather. Everybody calls him Vito. The senator does. Vito. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, this dude's a jerk. He's a freaking jerk. So like, then they go to the office and then he thinks he's playing his hand and I'm gonna charge you $250,000 on a $20,000 $20,000 permit, and you gotta give me 5% of your daily earnings.
Between the four casinos, so a lot of money.
Yep.
So then he's just like, "Hey, I'll give you my answer now. You're not getting anything."
Mm-hmm.
So
that's great. I'll give you my answer now if you want.
Yeah, that is a cool delivery. Michael knew what he was doing. Then later they end up setting him up. Because obviously he loves prostitutes, so they set him up. I'm sure they slipped the Mickey in his drink and made him pass out, and then
a Mickey.
Well, that's what they called it back in the '50s.
Is that what they called it back in the? I didn't know what it was. I'm not gonna lie to you.
That's probably the one of the more unforgivable things that Michael allows.
It really is.
The murdering of people.
The slang of the innocent.
Just an innocent. Sex, yeah, sex, she like, had no idea. I mean, she was just, you know. Just
there for a good time.
Yeah, and then Tom Hagen comes in and was assuring the senator, like, hey, like, she didn't have a family. Like, you know, no one's going to miss her.
It's like, bro, he just killed somebody.
Yeah, I know.
Like, who's going to know about this?
Which, that's an interesting point that you talk about, because when I was watching this yesterday, my mom had mentioned that it's funny that, you know, the Corleone family is, you know, they kill people and like they, you know, they do drugs and the prostitutes and all this illegal stuff. And yet we still like feel bad when something bad happens to them. Mm-hmm. Like they're not horrible people. They're horrible people. Like we shouldn't be feeling bad for them. But I mean, that's just how good the movie is and, you know, everything like that. But it's just an interesting.
They do all the bad, like they do all this bad stuff, but it, like, especially Vito operates this, like, they still have like a moral code that they can hold themselves to, like, Vito specifically, like, he, you know, like in the first movie, he doesn't want to do the drugs,
right? Yeah, like, didn't want to do the drugs, the
gambling and the prostitution, it's like, okay, in his eyes, you know, but but drugs is a dirty business, you know, whatever he says,
right?
But horse heads in people's beds.
And then in the second one, he starts killing people.
Yeah.
But you feel bad. You feel bad that something happens to him or whatever. But like, he's murdering people, but it's like he's murdering the bad people.
Even though he is the bad people, you know. So I mean, they really try to humanize him and get you to see everything from his perspective. Is that I have to do this kind of like Thanos to keep balance. You know,
that is a good point.
Yeah. I look at this and I have to keep balance, because if I don't, then the rest of these people who are crooked and underhanded, more crooked and underhanded than I am, are going to be running this. So,
good point. That is a good point.
Is there anything in the second one that you're like, okay, I'm fuzzy on that? Or I don't know.
I'm trying to think. Dude, that was such a movie.
There's a lot. There's a lot going on.
So, I guess I was trying to see. I understood where I got the Hyman Roth stuff. Mm-hmm. I got the Frankie. Like, I got all that. And he was kind of, like, back and forth. Like, he was really...
Hey, boys.
What's up, guys? He was, like, back and forth, in and out. And I thought they were going to... I really thought they were going to kill him to begin with, but they didn't. They didn't kill him.
Yeah.
And I was trying to see that did Hyman set all that stuff up? I mean, you said in the movie Frankie was Frankie. I'm sorry. You said in the movie like Corleone was kind of fishing, buddy. You're gonna have to like sit next to me. He said like Michael was kind of fishing, like for information. Yeah. Like you never knew if he truly knew what was happening, but every time somebody went to somebody else, he was just saying the opposite of what he was saying to somebody else. So, like, right. If he went to Hyman, he would say...
It was Frankie.
It was Frankie. Yeah. If he went to Frankie, vice versa. He said it was Hyman, right. You know? So,
to get their reaction whenever he said that.
Yeah. Yeah, to see who conducted the hit on his house, mm-hmm. basically in the first, 10 minutes of the movie, after that party that evening. Mm-hmm. His house got shot up, and then so they're trying to figure out. He's trying to figure out who went and done this. What was the reasoning behind it? So that might have been, Hyman Roth, the big multimillionaire dude down in Miami that has a bunch of illegal dealings in Cuba, and mm-hmm. it could have been him, or it could have been Frank Pantangeli, who had just been at the house wanting to get more involved in the business, and Michael was like, ah. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, for the most part, and then. Why did? I mean, I guess he really didn't string Frankie. Not Frankie. He really didn't string Fredo along.
Right. I mean,
he kept forgiving him over and over because obviously he was his brother.
Yeah.
But like Fredo was never gonna kill Anthony.
No, he never. No, he was never gonna do anything like that. But I think he knew that eventually. Well, I mean, not directly. I mean, indirectly, he might have gotten Anthony killed because. He was always still kind of working with people he shouldn't have been working with or getting information about things and not, telling Michael about it. Like, hey, mm-hmm. these dudes are about to do this or, whatever. Like, he was meeting with, what was his name? What was his name?
Which one?
The dude that he kept getting the phone calls from.
Johnny Ola, you're right.
Johnny Ola, yeah, he kept getting...
That dude's still alive.
He kept, hey, good for him.
Then,
no, he kept getting the phone calls from Johnny Ola in the middle of the night, and Johnny Ola would be tipping him off about things, and Fredo would say, "Hey, man, like you're going to be in trouble if Michael knows I'm talking to you." And he's like, "He'll never find out."
His wife was like, "Hey, who was that? It's the wrong number. Like, bro, you were talking to him. You're having a full conversation with this guy
for like 3 minutes, and his wife's like, "Who's that?" Wrong he's number. Like, "Wrong number." That was great.
I would have kept asking, like, "But why are you talking to him? It was the wrong number, dude."
The Johnny Ola conversation on the phone. Yeah. He talks to him for a good, two or three minutes. And his wife's like, "Who was that?" He's like, "Wrong number." No, but I mean, I think what he did with Fredo is because he knew that eventually Fredo was going to slip up, get...
Mm-hmm. He slipped up like that same...
Yeah,
like,
he was going to...
Not long after.
"Hey, Johnny, this is..." So like, I've never met him before.
Michael like, introduced him, and he was like, I never met.
5 minutes later,
they're at the craps tables, and Fredo's like, "Oh yeah, like we come here all the time." And
Johnny Ola,
like, Michael's what? Sitting right over there. He heard the whole thing.
Like, he's like sitting right behind him.
So yeah, Fredo was an idiot. That's just one of the reasons Michael had to kill him because it's.
So then that scene was, I've always heard that scene referenced, but I never had seen that scene play out.
I know it was you.
Well, I mean, or even them, why he kissed him and said that. So like,
kiss to death.
I know it was, it was New Year's and they were, and everybody in the room was like exchanging pleasantries and like mm-hmm. kissing each other on the cheek.
Mm-hmm.
So then, that scene comes up and then he even says, he's trying to save him still. Like, hey, we got a plane. What, going to Miami mm-hmm. or something like that? Like, hey, come on. I'm still your brother, whatever.
Yep. He's like, "I'm still your brother." Yeah.
"Fredo, I know it was you."
Mm-hmm.
"He broke my heart."
Yep. He plants one on him.
then like he still wants to save him, and still I think that's I mean doesn't even love him a brother. I don't know what it is. So he betrays him, and then his turtleneck dude, like the dude in the like his bodyguard.
Oh yeah, his bodyguard going around whacking dudes.
Yeah, like killing people.
Gets Johnny Ola.
Gets Johnny Ola, then goes tries to get take him.
Tries to get Hyman Roth, but
so when the police are walking in, the what is it, the Havana police?
Yeah,
they walk in and freaking pump him full of lead. Yeah, has his hold the pillow in his hand.
Yep, they get him. And then old Roth, he's escaped. He still lived. He lived like, yeah, like he kept saying how sick he was the entire movie, and
just walking around with
Michael's like he's been living with that same disease for 20 years. Like he's.
He would have kept living, probably. If Rocco wouldn't have got
that's exactly right. So, Wendell, overall, your opinion of Godfather Part Two, up against Godfather One.
I mean, there were some really iconic scenes in the movie, but I mean, maybe it was just the first watch and the anticipation of watching Godfather One, the anticipation of watching Godfather 2, thinking it was going to be better than 1, and maybe not living up to my expectations that I had. So
I was gassing it up pretty good for you.
Oh, yeah, I mean, but still, after that first, but we also talked about Goodfellas, how you might not like, Goodfellas. You might not like it as much. I was like, dude, yeah, I love Godfather 1.
Yeah.
I think a lot more than I love Godfather 2.
Yeah.
So, yeah, dude, it was a good movie. They're both really good movies, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But I just think with Marlon Brando, with acting chops of Marlon Brando, bouncing them off James Caan, bouncing them off Al Pacino and Diane Keaton.
Robert Duvall.
Just the acting chops of all those people, I was just like, man, this is a great movie.
Yeah.
You know.
Great cast, great lineup.
And then, I mean, Robert De Niro was really, really good. You know, all those scenes with him and him, how he came up and then eventually became the Don. You know, that was a good segue into that final dinner scene with Sonny. Because was that after Vito died?
No, he was still alive at that point. The little epilogue at the end of part two. No, that was before Michael. Michael was still in college. That was before he went off to the military. Mm-hmm. It was during World War II still, and so Vito Corleone was still alive.
That was before everything.
That was before part one. So yeah,
wedding, all that. I mean, yeah, yeah. So that's when she got introduced to Carlo.
Yeah, she had just met Carlo, that scumbag. My one biggest problem with part two has always been that I wish there would have been more scenes with Robert De Niro as young Vito. Now, I know that's not really like the most important part of the storyline and the plot, but I thought it was always really cool that they went back in time and like kind of showed how he got started. They could have done a little bit more. I understand the stuff with Michael and his storyline like in the present day was more important, but I don't know. I
should have did young Vito like young Sheldon and then just made a whole series about it. So, like his life, like his livelihood, how everything worked out, how he eventually became. I mean, obviously.
Young Vito.
Like young Vito on CBS.
Sundays on CBS.
So, no. I mean, in all honesty, like, Robert De Niro was really, really good in there. And then the fact that he tried to imitate the Don a little bit with getting his voice raspy and
talk just like Marlon Brando did in part one, which was cool.
So no man, it was good. And then I knew eventually he was gonna kill Fredo, like I did, like I knew that was coming, especially after his mom died. And he said in the movie, I was foreshadowing. Obviously, he said, don't want to do anything while mom's alive.
Yep.
You know.
So you knew. Like, the second that scene was, like, she passed away. Like, you knew that it was only a matter of time until something happened.
I think that last hug that he gave him was not a forgiveness. It was a goodbye. That's what it was. Like I don't think he forgave him. Mm-hmm. I don't think that he loved. I mean, when Michael says something, regardless of which movie it was, he stuck to that.
Mm-hmm.
He's never wavered from it. Stuck to it, and you know, went it all the way through. So, you know, when Connie was in there crying her heart out to forgive Fredo, I just don't think that Michael had it in him to do based on everything he did, because Fredo could have had Michael killed in the beginning with Kay in the house, with the kids in the house, and all the shooting. Like, Fredo could have had him killed, and I just don't think that, you know, there was forgiveness at that point. There was any room for forgiveness. Yep. You have your brother killed. You try to have your brother killed, then, you know. But again, Fredo might not have known that it was going to go that far.
Yep.
I don't know what, I mean, he says that, you know, and I don't know what he, like, somebody, I don't know where people found this, but said that he thought it was going to be a kidnapping. I don't know where, how they gathered that from mm-hmm. what we see in the movie or whatever, but I mean, that doesn't make any sense, really.
Right. All right, Wendell, so, like, final thoughts, part one and part two, Godfather.
I mean,
final words, like, what do you think?
I mean, some of the best movies I've ever seen, like, regardless of genre, like, it's some of the best movies I've ever seen. And the fact that it was created at a time where they didn't have all the resources that we have today,
mm-hmm.
for it to have such, to carry such weight, even now today, I mean, is absolutely crazy, you know. There's been, like, we've had upgrades to cinema, we've had upgrades to
special effects,
all that stuff, but I mean, if you really want a good movie, like, it's not about the effects, it's not about any of that to an extent. It's more so about how the story flows and the dialogue. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Godfather 2 was kind of choppy with it going back and forth, and sometimes it was hard to keep up. But Godfather 1, that flowed flawlessly.
Very straightforward, yeah, it did, yeah.
I mean, freaking Don Vito was getting freaking shot in, like, the first...
The fruit market, yeah.
40 minutes of the movie, mm-hmm. you know. And I didn't know how that was going to turn out, because mm-hmm. I thought Don Vito was going to be in all these movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So,
yeah.
But no, man, like, it's man, some of the best movies I've ever seen. And, I mean, if they ever wanted to make a young Vito on CBS on Sundays, and I'd watch.
You would watch that too. Who would play young Vito now? Who do you think would be?
Who do I think would play young Vito?
Yeah.
Colin Hanks.
Colin Hanks, you know, I feel like he might be too old.
Nah, dude. What's Buddy's name? Ain't that Buddy that played in The Boys? Is that Colin Hanks?
I don't know. I never saw
You never saw The Boys?
Like the superhero movie on Amazon? Boys, no, yeah. I never.
That's a great movie.
I haven't seen. Wait, no. It's a show, right?
Yeah, The Boys.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen The Boys.
Is that Colin? No, that's not Colin Hanks. That's Dennis Quaid's son.
Oh,
that's
what yeah, I was thinking of. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that might be all right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't really keep up with a lot of young.
I'm not sure what young actors have Italian descent that might help. I'm not sure.
I have to say, I have no idea, and I haven't kept up with any of it. I mean, the TV shows I watched with, like, young actors in it was like Snowfall. So I mean, I don't know what
young. You know, my mom mentioned she might want to start watching Snowfall yesterday.
Yeah, tell her to. She's gonna have to power through episode.
It's right up her alley.
Tell her she's gonna have to power through episode 3.
Okay, I'll let her know,
because it's rough, a little rough.
That's okay. And
after that, it's probably some of the greatest TV you've ever seen.
Okay,
I need to watch The Sopranos, Michael. I've never sat and watched it. Like, I tried, and then it just.
Yeah, man.
I've never watched Sopranos either.
It's like with some other shows, you know. Season one, it took me a minute to get invested, really, but. It's great, man. It's very good. I mean, I Breaking Bad's at the top for me. Sopranos is probably second, I would think, maybe. But Tony Soprano, I was telling Wendell that Tony Soprano's, I mean, Walter White's probably ahead of Soprano, but that mm-hmm. Tony Soprano's one of the best TV characters ever, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
He's great. Gandolfini's masterful.
We have to jump on board, Wendell. We got to watch.
Yeah, we do.
All right, good.
Yeah, man. Like, Godfather Part 1 used to be my favorite, too.
Yeah.
Part 2 is just kind of, it's just kind of slowly morphed into edging it out for
yeah.
me. But I just, the acting performances are just, I mean, the abortion scene, which, but
oh, yeah, like, that was nuts, dude.
It's like, abortion. Just
the, you can see the like, look on his face went nuts. Yeah, the boiling like, up of his yeah, face, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, that was great.
And Cazale's really good, too.
Mm-hmm. Fredo.
Fredo.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good. He is really good.
Slumped back in the chair and, like shaking and stuff as he, you know, I'm your younger brother, you know. You take care of me? Like, oh, man, I love that scene.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, that is a good scene. Yeah, Pacino was great. Scene. Well, Wendell, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Glad you got to watch those for the first time.
No, absolutely, man.
And can't wait to do this again one day.
Absolutely.